America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Valley Electric Association is working to be as transparent as possible with our members, now more than ever. Our interim CEO has opened the books, providing members with monthly financials, board reports, an annual review by auditors, and expanded content on our websites for ease of access and transparency. VEA has reduced our annual operating expenses by $11 million, with further savings still to come. Valley Electric Association, we are your cooperative, your community, and we're your neighbors.
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up! NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
It is live and local now. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you until 12 noon. Today is election day, municipal election day, in much of southern Nevada. And the turnout is going to be excruciatingly low. I'll talk with our next guest about the elections here in due time. But there's some urgent some urgency, I guess, to the cause today in Carson City. We are into week 9 of the 80th Nevada legislature. And one of the issues that they're going to deal with today and over the next couple of days is the Nevada Educational Choice Scholarship Program that was given $20 million a couple of years ago, but now needs to be reauthorized, and the governor doesn't have it in his budget. Which then brings us to the question, well, what's going to happen to these kids, many of whom are poor? Are they going to get funneled back into the failing schools they were in before? John Zarpalis is joining us from NPRI, Nevada Policy Research Institute, or Nevada Policy. And this special NPRI report is brought to you by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. John, good morning. Education choice, we talk a lot about it now. Legislators in Carson City are going to have to face this thing square in the eye. And are they going to support educational choice or not?
Boy, it's crunch time. If you believe in school choice, the powerful unions have raised their ugly heads. So today, literally this afternoon, 4 o'clock, there is a hearing on AB 458, which is out to cut off the funding to the scholarship program. It would let kids remain that are in it, but nobody else could join it moving forward, and it will cut it off, defund it completely within a couple of years. So that's happening today, and that's frightening. And then we've got another bigger fear. Heidi Gansert, State Senator Heidi Gansert, introduced SB 351, which would refund put money back in, the $20 million back in.
Would continue to fund.
Continue to fund is the better way to say it than refund. Yes, to continue to fund the program. That is sitting in the Education Committee. And if we don't get a hearing on it within the next week, it dies. So I would like to urge people, if you can write this down, please call Mo Dennis, the chairman of the Education Committee, and ask for a hearing of SB 351, the Nevada Educational Choice Scholarship Program bill. His phone number is 702, this is his office down here in Vegas, 702-657-6857.
Give that number again, slowly.
702-657-6857, or email him. His first name is not Mo, that's his shortened name. It's M-O-I-S-E-S, Moises, I believe, dot Dennis, D-I-N-I-S, just one N in Dennis, at sen.state.nv.gov. So please send him an email, give him a call, ask that the bill be heard. At least let us get our day to have to testify and let parents show up and explain why this parent, why it's important to them, why it's important to their kids. But today is the actual vote on AB 458. Please go look up your legislator. Just go to the Secretary of State or go to the legislative site. Let me find that address for you here because I have it. www.ledge.state.nv.us. And actually, I made a mistake when I gave you the Mo Dennis one. It's .us. It's not .gov. It's .us. I'll go through that again. Moises.Dennis, D-E-N-I-S, at sen.state.nv.us.
Now, let me just ask you. I don't understand the rationale of opponents of the opportunity scholarships, because we know, at least in limited play, this scholarship program works. It moves the needle.
Correct.
Kids succeed.
Kids do better. Correct.
They exactly.
They get a better chance. At
and
something
you can't
that works.
You can't tell me that a program. We've got all these whiz bang programs. Victory schools, Zoom schools, you know, read by three. We got all these what I call whiz-bang programs, but we don't know if any of them work.
No, we don't.
We've got a program we know that works.
Here's how we know, too. A parent who gets this scholarship moves their kid to the private school. If it wasn't working, they'd move them back to the public school. They don't go back. They stay. They say they're happy. What else can we – I mean, it's pretty simple. It's not like a big poll was taken, but that's how it works.
What is the rationale? I mean, I don't know how the labor unions, the teacher unions, with a straight face tell you why this is bad.
They don't care. I mean, they have power. They've elected this current Assembly and Senate. So they do not want kids to go off to a private school, which for the most part are not unionized, and have a better experience. Because if the word gets out this is working and more parents truly start demanding this, it will spread and grow. They will have to put more money in it, and that will take more money away from the unionized school system. It's that simple. It's about control of the kids, and the kids mean the dollars to that school. And it's wrong. I mean, as a teacher, you want what's best for the kid. I blame the leadership. I blame the greed and power, hunger of union leadership. This is not about the teachers. This is about kids in situations that aren't working where they have a chance to change it, and they won't let that happen, and they want to take it away, and they want to just end it so that there's this one-size-fits-all government monopoly unionized school.
Is this a Republican-Democrat issue, or is this a bipartisan issue, a nonpartisan issue, where people are going to get to vote their conscience? And if they believe that we need to help these kids and we need to get them into better schools and we need to get them the hell out of failing schools, is this something where there could be some bipartisanship in Carson City?
It should be bipartisan. Let's talk about who's the most hurt. It's always the families with the lowest income that are most hurt, who have the least choice. I mean, there's families middle class that scrimp and, you know, save and cut out other things and get their kids into a private school. Upper class people with income, tend to put their kids in a private school, or they find an area. They can relocate to an area where they know the school is stronger. If you don't have means, you don't have those choices. And so it should be bipartisan, because we all should believe in helping these kids. The only way to end poverty is better education. I think some of these Democrats get it, but I also believe they're beholden to the union who got them elected. So is getting reelected more important or helping these kids more important? I mean, that's what they need to be weighing in their conscience right now, and people need to be asking that question of them.
John Zarpolis, that's the voice you just heard. He is the president of NPRI, Nevada Policy, or Nevada Policy Research Institute. Coming up, we're going to pick up where we left off. Last time he was in, maybe a month ago, we were talking about civil asset forfeiture and how changing the guard atop the Democrats in the state Senate might not bode well for some bipartisan legislation that was getting ready to be heard. We'll talk about that. Because Nicole Cannizzaro replaces Kelvin Atkinson, and she has a different view of a civil asset forfeiture than did Kelvin. We'll talk about that, of where we are with that legislation. And this is, to me, something that is an issue about fairness. What is it that is fair before you are even convicted of spitting on the sidewalk? You can have your property taken away from you. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. Live and local now.
Mayhem is everywhere.
I'm a gravel truck. I'm busy laying the foundation for your city's newest suburb. And since it's such a nice day out, I thought I'd go topless. With 20 tons of pebbles loaded into my trailer bed, what's the worst that could happen? Now you're stuck behind me, and I'm about to make it rain. Rocks. Uh-oh, maybe I should have put a tarp over that. Now you're swerving, but there's no avoiding this downpour. Better watch out for that guardrail. And if your cut rate insurance doesn't cover this, you could get pelted with repair bills. So get Allstate, where agents help protect you from mayhem, like me.
For a free quote, call Las Vegas Allstate agent Sam Peters today at 702-870-4000. That's 702-870-4000, or stop by either of Sam's convenient Las Vegas locations. Subject to terms, conditions, availability, and coverage selected.
See what the personal service of an Allstate agent can do for you. Are you in good hands?
My fellow Nevadans, have you been wanting to start a new business but just don't know where to start? Do you have dreams of being independent and free to use your creativity? I'm Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. It's our mission to help small business owners get their doors open. This year, the Taylor Consulting Group is celebrating our 10-year anniversary. To date, we have helped over 1,000 small businesses get started here in our great state of Nevada. If you want to open a tavern, a supper club, a cafe, or a banquet facility, we can help. Our firm specializes in gaming licensing, liquor licensing, zoning matters, and government affairs. We are your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
I recently Google searched digital marketing companies in Southern Nevada and SoCal, and boy, there's a bunch of them. Hey, Kevin Wall here. So why should you commission Sofa King Creative Group to create and manage your company's website and social media? Well, to begin with, Sofa King Creative Group is one of the fastest-growing digital marketing companies in the two-state area. They provide personalized support to each and every client. I should know, because that's the kind of service I get from Sofa King Creative Group each and every day. If you're in need of a new website, graphic design, a social media, SEO, or maybe you need all of the above, give them a call right now. They're standing by to take your call at 702-965-2016. Ask for a free evaluation of your website and your social media. It'll only take a few minutes to do, and again, it is absolutely free. That's 702-965-2016. One more time slowly, 702-965-2016, or check them out at skclv.com.
This is Amy Emanuel, your Republican candidate for Las Vegas City Council Ward 1. I was raised with the values of hard work, giving back to the community, and monetary responsibility. Las Vegas wants a representative that will support small business and spur job growth, promote pedestrian safety and tackle our chronic homeless issue. I have the integrity and necessary experience to do this job. Please support me at the polls this April 2nd. A vote for Amy Emanuel will guarantee another conservative voice on the Las Vegas City Council, paid for and authorized by committee to elect Amy Emanuel.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
In Las Vegas, no one needs to remind you about Wednesdays at Roberto's Taco Shop. Indeed, it's a $1.29 chicken taco day. Ah, grande, juicy, crunchy taco. Loaded with hot, savory chicken, crispy lettuce, and mounds of cheese. All for just $1.29 each.
Roberto's Taco Shop. Real Mexican food you like.
Oh, yeah. I like what they've done to my Wednesdays.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It is live and local now. This hour of Live and Local Now, brought to you by our friends at NPRI, and they're brought to you by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. NPRI, Nevada Policy, and one of the, I know even before the session, we're into week nine now of this 80th Nevada Legislature, and one of the things that I know even before the session began, you and I had talked, and I had asked you, hey, is there any place where we can all go and have a civil conversation, Republicans with Democrats, with Save the Whales people, with Legalize Hemp, all of this stuff. And you said, you know, there is an area, civil asset forfeiture, and your people, your lobbyists, had actually had conversations with Democrats.
Absolutely.
And got their support in saying, let's go forward with legislation, bipartisan legislation, dealing with civil asset forfeiture. The problem is, nobody knows what that is except you. John Zarpalis, the president of NPRI, explain what civil asset forfeiture is and it's kind of the spade work that you folks did even before everybody got together in Carson City.
Yeah, we started on this 2 years ago, right after the last session we got into this. So here's what civil asset forfeiture is. Police can go in and seize assets when they're arresting somebody or raiding someplace. So they can go into a home, they can seize, say there's cash laying around, or if there's a vehicle involved, then pound the vehicle. Sometimes they even seize property, buildings, et cetera. The problem is, the law doesn't say they have to give those assets back when the person isn't tried or is found innocent.
So the charges are dropped.
And yet they're still sitting on the $200 they seized, or your car, or your house, or your grandmother's house.
Who keeps it?
For instance, the police, the Metro, let's say, can take those assets, sell them, and put them into their budget, and then use it in their budget. So $1.2 million a year goes into the police budgets from seized assets. However, if you weren't found guilty, what right did they have to take your asset? And yet, the only way to get it back is to sue them. So you have to hire an attorney, go to court to get your asset back. Where this gets into a real problem is for low-income people who don't have the money for the attorney, or the asset was worth less than the attorney fee. You're going to pay an attorney $500 to get $200 back? You're not going to do it. You're out $200. And $200 to you, if you can't afford the attorney in the first place, is a lot of money. So it's just not fair. So we started doing research 2 years ago. We literally did a heat map of where the worst abuse, where the most assets were seized. And if you look at the heat map of the valley, it's the poorest neighborhoods. It truly is people without money. So this goes against the whole concept that you are innocent until proven guilty. If they can seize your assets and then you're proven guilty, fine, let them keep it. But if you're not, give it back. It's
okay,
that simple.
Now let me just ask you, and do you or NPRI take a position on the initial seizure?
No. It's okay, you know, if they've got due cause, whatever, I'm not an attorney, and they go in and they seize those assets, that's fine. Give them back. I mean, we don't know if it's criminal or not. They're suspecting. We're not going there. here's what we want to do. It's just simply they give the asset back and let's take the incentive out of the police for seizing assets. We want the money put in the education fund that they do get. What they do keep, when someone is found guilty, the money funds education, not the police department. So that slows police down for wanting to seize things. Because right now, I think they're a little bit aggressive about it.
Okay. The last time you were in studio, you and I were talking on air and off air about the civil asset forfeiture. And it was on the day that Nicole Cannizzaro was named the head of the Senate.
Right.
Kelvin Atkinson stepped down.
Right. Kelvin Atkinson was all in favor of passing this bill, and he was the Senate leader. Cannizzaro is a district attorney, and she tends to side with the judicial and police. Well, I don't know what you would call that group, but she sides with them, and she's opposed to it. She wants to see the money go into their budgets. She wants the practice continued. She wants to kill this. However, this is both bipartisan and also there are Democrats, for instance, the chairman of this committee, Stephen Yeager, he's all in favor of this. He thinks this is great. He actually praised this during the hearing. Daniel Honcharoux, who's on here on Fridays, gave testimony. At the end of the testimony, Senator Yeager said, thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Nevada Policy, for having done all this research and legwork on this issue. And we really appreciate your testimony today. I mean, that was great.
Okay, we've got the history. Now bring us to the here and now. Where are we with this potential legislation? And are we any, first of all, we've had a hearing, obviously.
Yep.
Have we gotten a committee vote on it? When could it go to the floor? And is it possible we could end up with a bipartisan bill?
We've had the hearing. We don't know the dates for the votes. There will be a vote to get it out of committee. What I'd like to do is urge people to go to Nellis, N-E-L-I-S. You can put that in Google, Nevada Electronic Legislative Information System. You can find it at www.leg.state.nv.us/app/NELIS Nellis. Just put Nellis in Google. Go there. Find the bill. The bill is AB 420 and leave comments. The more comments that people want this, the more likely legislators are going to feel inclined to vote that way. Let's remember, they want to vote on what's going to get them reelected. And if they see the wind blowing in a certain direction, they'll go that way.
I always say these politicians, they want to give you what you want, but they've got to know what it is you want. They can't just intuit. They can't read your mind. You have to tell them what it is you want done. Can you stick around for one more segment? We got a whole Absolutely. Bunch of other stuff that we need to get to. Again, John Zarpala is joining us. He is the president of NPRI. That's Nevada Policy Research Institute, or to shorten it, Nevada Policy. This special NPRI report brought to you by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. I'm Kevin Wall. That's John Zarpalis. More with him coming up live and local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
The 120-day 80th Nevada Legislature, and there are like 1,200 bills or something in the hopper. There is talk about maybe going with a legislative session once a year rather than once every 2 years. We'll talk about that in just a second. But I just want to, John Zarpalis, standing by, holding over with us. I want to get a whole bunch of stuff in if we can. One of the issues that NPRI has championed over the years, as long as I've known NPRI, and that is transparency. The Transparent Nevada, Transparent California. You guys have championed that. Now we've got an opportunity with PERS and some other different issues to deal with transparency from a legislation standpoint. Can you talk a little bit about where we are in this session relative to transparency, whether it be PERS or some of the other stuff?
Yeah, well, the usual pushback from the bureaucrats, there's some stuff out there to give us less information, and we're pushing back to give us more information. Why do we need information? How are we going to know what our government is doing, where our money's being spent, if they don't allow us to know what they're doing? It's that simple. And so we've been a watchdog for literally for decades. I mean, we're on 27 years. And so we are always requesting records, and we have a very good Open Records Act here in Nevada. The problem is bureaucrats ignore it because there's no penalty on them. So we've put together, along with a coalition, it's not just us, Senate Bill 287, which allows a judge, if information's not released in an open records request, we often go to court. Nevada Policy's forever suing PERS or Clark County School District because they say, no, we're not going to give you the information. We sue. We go to court. We always win. The problem is the penalties are then paid by the taxpayers. The penalties being they pay our legal fees for suing them, and they pay an attorney who represented them. In the case of PERS, our bill for the three-year court case, actually four-year, 2014 to 2018, where it went from district court all the way to the Nevada Supreme Court, and it was ruled that, yes, the public employee retirement system has to share the information with us. We're getting back in our costs. And then their attorneys, outside counsel, was over $1,000. So the taxpayers of Nevada just wasted $200,000 because some bureaucrat said, don't give them the information. So this bill, SB 287, allows the judge to then find the bureaucrat who withheld it. So there's some skin in the game to the person that made the decision that wasted all this taxpayers' money. We would like to see that happen. We would like to have a little pressure on the bureaucrat. Let them think twice before they withhold. That's SB 287. However, there is SB 224, which has been sponsored by the PERS board, to withhold information from the PERS system. So since the Nevada Supreme Court said they have to release it, now they want to change the law to exempt themselves. And this has been sponsored by Julia Ratti, and there's been a lot of things that are falsehoods being floated around. For instance, people will be able to get people's passport numbers from the PERS system.
That's not true, is it?
Doesn't have their passport numbers. How are they going to get their passport numbers? You know, they're driving this on the concept that people in the system are afraid that they're going to be hacked, their financial information is going to be used. We get a name, we get address, and we get what's in the pension system. We've been getting that for many, many years now. There's been no reported case of any abuse of that information having been used for some kind of false situation. So why start now? Well, there's also a fair amount of our legislatures in the PERS system. Their pension's in there. So they don't want people to know what that is. We want to know because we're always looking for people that are filing false claims for disability pensions.
Double dipping.
And just know who's in the system when it comes to the vote right now. Would be nice to look up who's in the legislature and how are they voting and do they have an interest and why they don't recuse themselves, I don't know. But they should be since they're voting on money that's theirs. Or they claim is theirs. And that's another issue. So Julia Ratti says, well, the money in the PERS system belongs to the pension person. And we say, no, we're the ones who put the money in. It's our money to start with. It's the taxpayers' money. So there's this going round and round. You also got SB 294 out there. This is a bill about the police. And in there, they're adding some amendments so the police have to can withhold more information on different cases than what is currently allowed. I don't think we've got a real problem with what's currently being released anyway. So why go even further?
If it ain't broke, why try and fix it?
And why take away the public's right to know even more? We pay for this. They're our public servants. They're doing our bidding. Why can't we know what they're doing? It's that simple.
John Zarpolis joining us. He's the president of NPRI, Nevada Policy, or Nevada Policy Research Institute. There is this new piece of legislation that's floating around. It's being discussed. And that is the notion of taking our once every 2 years legislature, 120 days, similar to Texas, for instance, except Texas goes 140 days, but they do it every 2 years. The idea of making our legislature an annual event. I'm a little ambivalent other than I just have a feeling this is going to be an excuse to ratchet up the price of running a legislature. It's the first bill that gets right. passed, by the way, funding the legislature and the session. Your thoughts?
Well, you're right there, first of all. The move is eventually to make them full-time. I mean, this is an interim step. It's always more, more, more. We've been doing pretty fine the way we are. Why are people coming to this state? Because taxes are low, the regulation is less. We have been a state where we've always offered freedom to people. And if you have more government meetings and more time to legislate, you're going to pass more legislation. And that doesn't mean they're going to be cutting things. I think it's going to be more regulation, higher taxes. Is that the direction we want to go? Well, that's the direction the people that believe in a big state want to go. But I don't live in Nevada for that reason. I live in it because it's a freer state. And one of the upsides of all this is it would take a constitutional amendment. Now, the legislature can institute that. It's got to be passed twice, and it's got to go to the public. There's places to stop this. But let's not even start to go down that track.
And by the way, this goes back to that, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Is there anything in your recent memory that has slipped through the cracks because we've got interim committees that end up funding and doing things in the year between sessions?
We've had special sessions. If there's something urgent, there's a special session called. There's means to deal with something important and urgent. In the meantime, they've got a year and a half to figure out what they want to put forth and 4 months to discuss it, vote on it, and pass it. And if they can't get to it all, well, the problem is there's probably a lot of bad ideas that are being floated. I mean, someone has mentioned to me, how about let's put a ballot initiative up to limit the number of bills that can be introduced? 1,200 right now is a little crazy. They're not going to get to it all. It's all not going to get hurt.
But doesn't the system eventually limit them? If you don't deal with them by
Correct.
Such and such a date,
time runs
if
up.
They don't get out of a committee by such and such a date, and we winnow that down to where it's a manageable number. And now the last 10 days is just like a whirlwind. You know, this bill's passed. Okay, boom, gavel. Boop, that next bill. That I mean, the last 10 days is crazy.
It is. Let's also think how that's going to expand the lobbyists and the lobbying industry in this state.
It'll make it a full-time industry.
It'll make it a full-time industry. It's going to up everybody's costs that use lobbyists, including the taxpayers, because guess what? Almost every government agency in the state has a lobbyist that we're paying to go get more money for their group, more of our money. Where's the taxpayer lobbyist? Well, I guess I'm sitting here right now. Nevada Policy is the taxpayer's lobbyist. That's why we have our own lobbyists. This is what we do. Let's not give them more chance for more lobbying and more spending.
We are into week 9 of the 80th Nevada Legislature, and I want to get your overview, if we can, before we let you go. The overview, we were very suspicious coming in. Democrats have a supermajority in the Assembly, a near supermajority in the State Senate. Has it been as bad as we thought it was going to be, or worse?
It's about what we thought it would be. That would be Nevada Policy. Right now the collective bargaining bill's there to unionize the state workers. It's going to happen. There's a few things they slipped in that we didn't see coming, which are worse. The concept of creating a separate fire district as a taxing body. This is what happens in the East when tax bills do not have to go through the legislature. They can, they're going to allow taxation from different levels. That's coming. We've seen this rearing its ugly head up there. Yeah, no new taxes, but they're setting it up so the taxation can get passed from different sources at different situations locally. And that's going to be a real big long-term problem. That's what's going to drive up your property taxes, your local sales taxes, and that's what's going to make the state unaffordable. People don't understand how bad property taxes are in the East. I don't know if I've ever said this here. My property tax bill on a four-bedroom middle-class house in the suburb of Chicago was $2,000 a month, $24,000 a year. $24,000 a year, wow. I paid in property tax. And here's what that does to your house. When you go to sell it, the buyer's got to think, well, I got a $2,000 a month payment right up front. What do I got left for a mortgage? So the price of your house just went down because they can't pay the mortgage to what it should be. So they've taken away some of your equity through taxation. That's what it was like. That's why I am a refugee here, because I can get a house and maybe keep it because I can afford the taxes. People need to see that all these little things of creating separate taxing bodies, allowing local increases on taxes, that's what happened in the East, and that's what's coming if we don't stop it here.
And this is where I really have an objection is when the state legislature says this idea of raising taxes too hot for us to handle. We'll give local entities, county commissions, right. City councils, things like, we'll give them the ability to raise your taxes. If we don't want this on our hands, we'll let the city council or the county commission do all the dirty work.
Absolutely.
And that to me is so disingenuous.
It is. And then here's the other thing: no taxation without representation. Where's this fire district's elected board to complain to? It does
wow.
not.
Amazing. Amazing. It is always fun seeing you. And by the way, just for the record, you've got one of the best services to the public, your bill tracker.
Absolutely.
A lot of the bills that we've been talking about here today are on your bill tracker. Can you tell people how they can access that?
Simple to find. NPRI.org or NevadaPolicy.org. Either one gets you to our website. Right at the top's the bill tracker. Click on the thing that says read more, and it'll get you there. We literally keep the bill tracker open all day at our desks because we're updating it constantly. We're tracking over 100 bills that we consider important to our issues, which is taxation, regulation, transparency, school choice, some of these civil justice things like civil asset forfeiture. We're constantly updating it. We're rating it. We know that legislators actually go to our bill tracker to look at the rating, yes or no, to know which way to vote because they haven't had time to read it. They read the synopsis. So please go there, take a look there. Sign up at NevadaPolicy.org and our email. We send emails at this time of year. We're sending one every day on something. If it's something of interest to you, you'll know when to call, when to write, when to show up for a hearing because we're sending that out with contact information on a regular basis.
John, always good to see you. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And thanks for all you guys do at NPRI. We'll talk again.
Thank you so much.
John Zarpolis, he's the president of NPRI, Nevada Policy Research Institute. This special NPRI report brought to you by Jim Marsh Chrysler Jeep, Jim Marsh Kia, and the Jim Marsh Auto Body Shop. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is Tuesday. It is live and local now.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas, with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hi, this is Jackie Thornhill, president-elect of the Las Vegas Rotary Club. For 96 years, the Las Vegas Rotary Club has taught area youth to succeed through literacy, education, and life skills development. To fund our year-round programs, we hold one major fundraising event each year. This year, the Las Vegas Rotary Club brings together world-class cuisine and high octane. It's a speed and style reception Saturday night, April 27th at Celebrity Cars in Las Vegas. Enjoy food station pairings, check out classic and exotic cars and motorcycles, with a special appearance by cast members from the hit TV show Counting Cars. You're all invited to our world-class speed and style reception benefiting Spread the Word Nevada. Proceeds stay here in Southern Nevada to continue the amazing work Rotary does in our local community. To order tickets, go to LasVegasRotary.com. That's LasVegasRotary.com, and I'll see you Saturday night, April 27th.
I'm Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy. In 2017, the state's only funded educational choice program was given an extra $20 million to help low-income kids find better schools. Now Governor Sisolak says he doesn't want to keep that funding in the budget. His plan to slash the program could mean nearly 1,000 low-income students are going to lose their scholarships and be forced back into schools that didn't work for them in the first place. In 2017, the Nevada Teachers Union promised they would roll this program back or even eliminate it. Unless parents start pressuring their lawmakers today, it looks like the union might just have their way. That's why it's more important than ever for parents to let the governor and the legislature know that improving education should mean helping kids get in the classrooms where they can truly succeed, not taking away the very scholarships that make it possible. Your voice, your phone call could be what makes a difference. So visit NevadaPolicy.org, sign up for our emails, and you can get involved this legislative session on this issue and all the other issues we're keeping a close eye on in 2019. I am Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Brought to you in part by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today. Check it out, 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. Okay, we're going to get to your phone calls. You want to join us? You want to be a part of the show? You can. Today is Election Day in Southern Nevada. Municipal elections. That means probably 5% of you are going to actually go out and vote. I hope that number is higher. I hope that many of you have taken the opportunity, either in listening to this show or others, or reading, that you have learned a little bit about the candidates and what they stand for. Active Republican Women had a candidates forum out at Red Rock Country Club a couple of weeks ago. And we had so much fun, and we met some of the mayoral candidates, the council candidates, and it was a lot of fun. And I got to tell you, I learned a lot about these people. It was absolutely amazing. Now, one of the things One of the things that I wanted to at least bring to you, Dan Abrams. Dan Abrams was on Mediaite Radio. Let's go to cut one. This is Dan Abrams yesterday with a dire prediction about Trump.
Here's what I think. And I will be held accountable for this prediction. I think the Mueller report on obstruction is going to be far worse than the public, even the president, expects. I believe that the Mueller report will lay out a lot of reasons why Mueller believes the president obstructed justice. Some of them we don't know about, because even in Barr's letter, he refers to the fact that many of the actions took place in public view, which means some of them did not. And I am convinced that Mueller will have said that he did not reach a conclusion on indictment because a sitting president can't be indicted. That's not only not an exoneration. If I'm right, that would be the president, according to the Mueller report, getting very close to or crossing the line into obstruction of justice. So I think you're going to see a lot of reasons which are damning to the president. Again, this isn't my hope, or this is just what I think the Mueller report's going to say.
I'm going to tell you something. These are the very same people that said, oh, there's no path to 270. He got 306. These are the very same people that said he's going to be perp walked out of the White House. He's not. These are the very same people that said that this president was going to self-destruct, that he was guilty of collusion, of treason. These are the very same people. That's what I don't understand. That's what makes no sense whatsoever. Think about it. Think about it. This is. You know, I always love it when they make these dire predictions about the president. And these people, you know, it's like the heart surgeon that keeps losing patients on the table. Eventually you say, well, maybe this guy's not a very good heart surgeon. Mm-hmm. Stick around. Coming up, we're going to be caller intensive. Michelle is going to lead us off. She says the problem in Ward 3 is we don't know the candidates. Interesting. We'll get to that and more coming up. Live and local now. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.